Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise God. There is a progression from sweetheart, when you've just gotten married, to mommy, to madam. When I've done 50, I don't know the name. Brethren, sistren. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, we made 14 years. For those of you who are married, you know what that means. Glory to God. I have a chisanja to cook. Glory to God. I'm going for another term, another year. Amen. Yeah, so we really bless God. That is such a testimony for me and Sam, 14 years. And I really thank God for my daughter, who told her father, where is she, that, I think during the week, what are you going to do on your anniversary? And daddy says, yeah, we shall just buy a meal and stay here at home. Ah, she said, daddy, it is not enough. Glory to God. He said, daddy, it is not enough. And in my house, we don't conspire against daddy at any one point. So he comes and he tells me, you know, your daughter has said it's not enough just buying a meal. And he asks me, what do you want? And I told him, actually, I don't want anything. So it was really enough. Amen? Glory to God. I'm happy once again to be here to share the word of God with you. This morning, we're going to remind ourselves of what it means to love God and to love one another. Amen? But my emphasis will be on loving one another. These are sermons, or these are things that you hear when you've just gotten born again, and you're like, yeah, we love, but that out of the way, we want to know, how are we going to prosper, how are we going to get rid of this and this. And people really don't pay so much attention to loving one another. In LAT, as part of our DNA, we say we love God with everything in us, and we also love one another as He has loved us. You see, when you love God, we talk about loving God so many times, but that part of loving one another is taken for granted. Yet the Bible is clear. When Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and then people will know that you're my disciples, He put those two things together. You cannot love God and not love one another. And when I say loving one another, essentially that one another is the brethren. Not churchmates, but the brethren. People that go to other churches, people who are born again, Christians. We are mandated to love them. But also, as we shall see later on in Scripture, we are also mandated, we are asked, commanded to love our enemies. And today we are going to look at just three things. What that actually means, what does it mean in the physical? What does it pan out as when God says, love one another? So, John 13:34. Let us start from that commandment. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples. And if you have love for one another, by us loving each other, the world out there knows that we are the disciples of Jesus. In life, there are groups that people identify themselves with different things. People identify themselves with their tribes, their skin color, Black Lives Matter. As if white lives, Bambi, yeah? Social status, you know? And you know, when the truth is also, when we get born again, these things don't go away. You still remain the same color. You still be in the social status, unless maybe God promotes you, but you generally remain in the same social status as you were before. You will probably have the same wealth. you got born again today, tomorrow you're still going to be. If you are $2 rich, tomorrow in the morning you'll still be $2 rich. So in this world, and as it is right now, people identify themselves with even their workplaces. Women identify themselves. Some people, social status. Are you married? Are you single? Yeah? That also comes as identity. Someone can be validated by such an identity. But not so for us, the church. This here is what will be our identity. When we love each other, the Lord is clear. That shall be your identity, that you are my disciples. You follow me, you listen to me, you are practitioners of the things that I have taught. So as it is, the body of Christ must always identify themselves by the love that Jesus put in our hearts. Glory to God. Amen. So how is it done, and what does it mean to love one another? But before we go to that, you realize that every time maybe the scriptures about love are talked about, and the love of God, the way Jesus Christ loved us, it seems like it's such a far goal to reach. It seems, because it's, of course, it's the pure love. It's the sincere, the unpretentious love. And then when you look at yourself, you're like, but can I really, really, really love like Jesus? Now, if God told us to do it, that means that we can actually do it. And I'm going to show you very simply that it is achievable for you to love another person the way Jesus loved you. It is so achievable. Glory to God. Amen. So even as I'm going into this topic, don't feel like, oh, she's going to talk about that love. And then you're like, about coming this morning. I think there is a time I was telling some that, I don't know how God stands me. Sometimes, like on Monday morning, I can't even stand myself. I'm like, man, the new week has begun. I am here. Maybe I've messed up in different areas with the kids. I'm like, but how does even God stand me? Sometimes I look at my husband, I'm like, Bambi, like how? Like how does God stand me? And especially in those areas that you know very well. You know yourself better than anyone else. So you know the areas that you fall short. That sometimes you're even a disgrace. Like you feel you are a disgrace to your own self. You're like, again, I'm struggling with this. I have fallen short. And then you look at you like, how do children stand me? How do my kids stand me? Yeah? So because of that, you're like, that is why I think the first commandment, the other commandment that were given before Jesus gave us the new one, it was love your neighbor as you love yourself. But you realize with all those things, some people don't even love themselves. If I don't love myself on Monday morning, there is no way on Tuesday I'll love Carol. There's just no way. Why? Because some people don't even value who they are. They don't like themselves. They want to be other people. Glory to God. So if I even want to be like someone else, then how am I going to love? How am I going to love Carol? So now Jesus comes and helps us, and he says, just love people the way I have loved you. 1 John 4:21 tells us that, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. It is not love the brother who is easy to love. It is not love the brother who is in your, what is the men's squad, the boys' squad? It is a commandment. Love your brother also. It doesn't say the one who did you well, the one who gave you money, the one who you go to the same church with. Love the brethren. You know, it's very easy to meet people now. Like for us who are in LA, it is a small church. I can pretty much decide on Monday to bless everyone. And by the end of the week, we are that few. By the end of the week, I know LAT, I'll have finished blessing everybody if I have that much money. I'm talking about money. But when it comes to people from other churches, generally in the body of Christ, there seems not to be intentionality with the way we relate to them in love. It is the differences in doctrine, the differences in how we praise, how we worship, the way our pastors dress, all those things have crept in into the body of Christ, and they created gullies between us. And you're like, I don't really care what happens in Mountain of Christ Church Fellowship, you know? Or Church of God fellowship or whatever fellowship, like Tebiku Kwatako, you know? And even when you hear that, oh, Pastor so and so passed on, or as in you just gloss over. It's not even, they didn't even make headlines to you, yeah? But is that what God has called us to? And this morning, I hope we are reminded that loving one another transcends just these four walls that we are in, the person that you know you go to church with, but even people outside of our church. So we must love God. We must identify us. We must love each other, and love will be our identifying factor. And as we have said here before, that love is a verb. It's an action verb. You must be intentional on expressing it. I remember there's someone who were in a fellowship and were talking about husband and wife. And this guy was saying, ah, for me, my wife, I tell her I love her like once in I don't know how long. And then when she comes back to ask me, I'm like, but has anything changed? I will inform you if something changes. I told you last Valentine's, I love you, so you be on that one. If anything changes in the status, I'll come and let you know that, you know what, eh? This has happened. And then also there are people, like in relationships, you know it's very difficult. By the way, this is so true, that there are some people who find it difficult to tell others that they love them. Maybe because of our African background or upbringing, it's just so like it rolls off so strangely off your tongue. It's easier for like people to tell their children they love them, but when it comes to their spouse, it's like as if you've told them, make the vow again, you know, before me. Yet it should be easy. Your spouse, your children, those are the immediate circle of influence. You should easily tell your spouse, I love you. That should be an everyday thing, and not I love you and even whispering. I should be able to tell Sam, I love you, and I don't care whether pastor hears or not. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. And men, don't tell your wives I love you at just that time. You know the time. Let it be, hey, the whole day. You tell her. Don't just send it in a message. You know, there are some men also, eh? But I thank God for technology. You send a WhatsApp. But you know, it is so bad that some people, some spouses can't even write. They can't even write. Type a chat. They send a forward. You know those things that even come with forwarded many times? You send a forward that has gone through the whole of Uganda. Yeah, a guy in Kameramaido received it. Then you see it and you're like, this one should be able to let her know. Yeah? Then you also what? You send it. A forward. And then it comes with forwarded many times. Guys, that is not the kind of love that God has called us to. Amen? If you're a young man out here, you have your own... When we were younger, it was lyricking. It was lyricking, writing those nice words, those nice love words, yeah? Be intentional. Even when you're writing the text to your wife, when you're telling your children, don't just say, I love you, and you just leave it there. Be intent. Put some thought, put some heart into it. Sit down. Let it seem like it actually consumed your time. Glory to God. Yes, don't just say, I love you, you know everything, yeah? And no, sit down and articulate these things to your spouse. Glory to God. You guys are laughing, but I know these are things that you do. I know it. I know you do these things. So, but Sam and I don't do them. Sam sits down and he thinks, and he will write, even me sometimes, I'm like, but did this come from you, Sam? Really? Seriously? An engineer, you came up with this. So, but love, you have to be intentional. Glory to God. You have to be intentional. Don't just gloss over it. And the more you do some of these things, the easier it is for you. Glory to God. The more you do these things, the easier it becomes for you to pass on this love to somebody else. Amen. So Jesus is a great example. And going by that verse, Jesus tells us that love one another as I have loved you. So what does the love of Jesus mean? What does the love of Jesus look like? I picked out just three things about the love of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that we shall pick from that and we try and be intentional every day to love one another. Amen. Challenge yourself to love somebody else who is not in your church. Your neighbor. Glory to God. In my estate, we have two families. We are six, but there are two other families that are involved in church. I think one is a pastor, has a church, and another one is also really deeply involved in their church. So the other day I was just telling myself, but Joanne, you've been here 10 years and you've never even sat down to discuss things and what. But I have been trying in my own way, give them food, knock in the morning, say, banange, musumba, mukama yeba zibwe. You say, just to show that, you know what, at the end of the day, these divides will not be there. We shall all stand before God and we shall account for love. Amen. So, three things stood out for me about the way Jesus loved us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This love was unconditional. We didn't apply for Christ to die for us. Glory to God. We didn't apply. We did not deserve it. But Jesus Christ went ahead and died for us. He could have chosen not to. God sent his only son. You know, when it comes to, again, our love, our motto, you know, this kind of love of ours, it is very conditional. And even between spouses, there are those times when you're like, what are you bringing on the table? Show it, yeah? As in, there is a condition for me to love, to do for you things. Glory to God. That is okay to a certain extent, as long as you don't go to the extremes. I'll be lying to you to stand here and say that we shouldn't have expectations of our spouses. But you should not condition, while the expectations are there, you should not condition giving another person love to that. Glory to God. You should not, let me say it again, never put yourself in a place where you withdraw your love from someone, whether it is a spouse, a child, because they have not fulfilled a certain condition. You can withdraw other things, but not love. Don't put yourself there that, you know what? That one I'm going to hate. I'm going to do what? Let me tell you a story of some guy. We were counseling, Sam and I. So, of course, you go through the Bible. You're saying, you know, but you. Now Sam is telling this guy, but you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then I'm there telling the wife, but you also, you're supposed to submit as the church submitted to Jesus Christ. And the guy said, but you guys, you do not know this church of mine, this church. This church is just so difficult to love. It is not submitting to me. It does not cook food. This church is just so difficult. I wish you were the ones loving my church. So, well, like, but you know, God tells the men to love their wives as Christ loved the church without conditions. Without conditions. You can have expectations, but do not make someone have to, don't make someone have to qualify for your love. I hope you can see the difference in what I'm saying. We are supposed to love. Because if you put an expectation of Joanne qualify for my love, I will never. You change every now and then. Every day you change. I cannot even reach that extent of meeting, satisfying your love requirement. I will fall short tomorrow. So you can't, even as we are loving our neighbors, one another, don't put a condition for loving that person. Amen. Don't put a condition for loving that. Don't be like that guy who said, but my church. Don't be like that lady who says, but this guy, he doesn't bring home the food, so I cannot love him. Jesus Christ loved you and I unconditionally. Even when you go and you sin, he says, you know, you come back. You go sin, I knew you are going to sin, but come back. I will still love you. A few things, if you insist in your sin, a few things will change in the way you relate to God. But nothing, the Bible tells us that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. And one of the things that is cited in that verse is, even sin will not separate you from the love of God. You know that while you were yet a sinner, God loved you. It doesn't mean that he compromised on his standard for sin. He hates the sin in us, but he still goes ahead and loves us. And this is the kind of love that we should express to other people. You hate what they are doing, but you must love them. Glory to God. You have your differences. We cannot all be the same, but you have to go ahead and love them. And like I said, love is an action verb. Be intentional about loving people. Be intentional. Do things about loving people. Amen? The second thing is sacrificially. Jesus loved us sacrificially. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. For he made him who knew no sin for us. Jesus Christ, holy, Son of God, Lamb of God, God incarnate, knew no sin. But you know what? It took that sacrifice. We sing about it all, the greatest sacrifice of all that brought us our salvation. Love is costly. Amen? Love is costly. If anyone is dating here, they will tell you, love is what? Costly. Again, sometimes, since we're talking about our anniversary, sometimes you go back, me and Sam, and we talk about how we were dating, you guys. We talk about that time, and we talk about the time that people are dating in this season. And you're like, you know, thank God I met you then, because I don't think you would have cut it for me. I don't think I would have cut it for you. Love is so costly. You must be able to pay the price for love. Good relationships are costly. They cost time. They cost money, emotions. They cost so, so much. When we were dating, I remember we used to, so I remember that Publicon form, that phone where you put in coins. And as he's saying, hi, Joanne, the coin goes through. I say, but I'm a student at campus. I have only 1,200 shillings. And he has timed 4 minutes. Then we moved away from those phones to the guys in Wandegeya who used to do those, you pay 300 shillings, and the guy, as you're talking, the guy is like, the guy is waiting to switch you off at the clock of the minutes you've paid for. Yeah? So as Sam is still telling me, ah, man, Joanne, about what, the guy, suppose you were deco. And you'd be like, but, and then now you see the way people date now. Oh my God. You guys have grace. Amen. Single people here, you have so much grace. People that date when they are, there's just so much that goes into money. What, we didn't even have cafe javas, what. For us, we had what? Chukumi. We went there one time. We had, Rolex is how much? 500 shillings? 300? Chips and what? Chips and chicken? Tipsy. Hey, tipsy, yeah. Tipsy, that time sausages had just come over in my mind. And but now to afford a meal at Cafe Java's, someone starts from, ah, me, I don't go to Cafe Java's. That's a place for everyone. Or I go where? And you're like, hey, you guys, how do you date in this day and age? Things are very expensive. Things are very expensive. To keep in touch with someone, you have to buy for them a router. They want Wi-Fi at home. They can't even, yes, they want Wi-Fi at home. Because they want internet all the time, yeah? And you're like, but a router? Are you serving the whole estate just to keep in touch with? Sometimes when I look at young men, and I'm like, these are some of the reasons why these young men don't want to what? To get married, because they look at all those things and they're like, There is a time, I think it was, my landscaper, some guy who is working with me on our landscaping. This guy was telling me, Ennaku zino, omukazi, amnayokulimba. You have to first part just one meeting. Emitwalo kuminata no jigenze. Madam, let me tell you, 150,000 gone. So I'm like, then that means, so how much should you be earning? He's like, man, this is where we are working like this. 150 in one meeting gone. And I'm thinking, 150 right now, what would I be using it for? I'm probably counting butunguru, tomatoes, what. But you know that is someone's meat, that's someone's debt, yeah? Then this guy's like, get up for me, been able to be an man. Me, I'm defeated. I'm really, really defeated. You want someone, you see someone who is really good for you, but the money, the bit of the money. Then now he starts telling me about another person who, you know, he was interested in. And I think the person is round about where, like in his income gap, so the expectations are not so much. But then he said, na ye even ha, once in a while, it shoots up. So, and I'm like, but also you, can't you sacrifice? We're talking about the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Love costs, yeah? Of course, greater love has no man that he should lay down his life for another. You will not have someone dying for you to take your sins away. But I have seen people who out of that love have died for others, by the way. Yes, parents have died for their children, yeah? I've read stories about parents dying for their children, not to take their sin away, but because of out of that love. So you must see the difference as well there, okay? So no greater love has no man that he should lay down his life to take sin. People can die for others, by the way. There are people who really love that much. They can die for, the guy says, Joanne, I'll die for you. And he means it. Like if you come and cut, I'm finished. John, I can die for you. But even if you died, your blood will not take away my sins. So the love of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, is the only one that took away our sin. But you see, it cost God something. God could have sent an angel to come and die. God could have sent some being, some creature to come and die for us. But he sent his one and only son. He came in the form of his son, and he left his throne, and he came and he died for us. So quit complaining when you find yourself in a place where love is going to cost you something. Don't be there saying, ah, Nzebana, get me, I don't want these things. What? Especially men and women, let me just say that. Don't, you know, let's not complain. Let's not complain, because love actually costs things. You know, when you wake up in the morning, like there's someone telling God, show me like how to really sacrifice, yeah? Show me how to sacrifice to someone else. Like, I really wanted God to help me. Show me who it was going to be and how I can painfully give. You know that painful sacrifice? So one day I'm there. I'd even forgotten the prayer. You know those prayers that we pray in the heat of the moment you finish, you're like, I'm done. Then a lady calls me, a widow, and she tells me, hey, madam, you know, tugenda kusereke nyumba, what? Hey! You know, she didn't ask for food. She was talking about money for building. And if you're in this church, you know that Sam and I are building. I was like, what? She wants money for building? Where am I going to get this money? And I asked her, so how much is it? She said, $1.2 million. But on the time, so I asked her, so on the 1.2, how much do you have? She said, madam, I don't have any. And you people, I remembered my prayer. I painfully got money, went to her, and I'm like, you know what? Have. I kept on, even when I was leaving, I kept on thinking about, how much could I have done on my own house with that money? It wasn't 1.2, but yes, I gave her what I had. How much could I have done? You know, I was setting it aside for my own project. But then I remembered the prayer I had made to God. And I felt so free. I felt so released. Why? Because I'd asked God to help me, put me in that position where my love will cost me something, where the love will pain. Yes, sometimes love hurts. It is that, you know, that sacrificial love. When David was planning to build a temple for the Lord, David said, you guys read your Bible, so I'm not going to go into the detail. David, in buying a field, could actually even have gotten it for free. That's what the Bible says. But he said, you know, I am not going to give God anything that doesn't cost me. I am not. Something that you don't attach value to that doesn't cost me, I'm not going to do it. So sometimes we have to do those things for our brethren. It's sacrificially. Amen? So you cannot always stay in your comfort zone and say, me, I love you, send the text. But when they ask you for 150K, you're like, what? No. You must sacrifice. Glory to God. Amen. The third thing is, love covers a multitude of sins. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. From this simple verse, there are so many verses in the Bible that talks about covering a multitude of sins. But for this particular one, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When we forgive each other, we cover our sins. Amen? It doesn't mean that we condone the sin. It doesn't mean that you agree with what someone is doing. But, you know, I have been tested in this area a lot. Why? Because growing up, I had, you know, people who, I had an, let me just call it an anger issue. I think right from my ancestors. My ancestors would get angry. Yeah, you know that Tom and Jerry that the head even boils and goes off. Those are my ancestors. Yeah, and when I met Sam, Sam was like, Emma, you guys, the way you guys get angry, he would see some traces of that. So I went through situations one after another, and God putting me at the spot where I must forgive. I have to forgive. Good enough, I knew it early enough. And there is a test that God gave me earlier that someone hurt me so bad. And I remember God coming to me when I was about 20, just before I got married. And God tells me, you know what? You must forgive that person, not just to forgive, but go ahead and do X, Y, Z. It was so difficult for me, people. But when I passed that test, now I easily forgive. Amen? That is the test that broke all the chains of anger and unforgiveness in my life, that now forgiving people comes easily to me. But does it mean that I don't go through other trials where I have to do that? Yes. So when Jesus Christ loved you and I, he forgave our sin. He not only forgave it, but he washed away our sin. There's people that hold on to hurt. Yeah? People hold on to hurt. They hold on to, you did this to me, you did what? Silent treatment, I'm not going to talk to you. You did, you know, I'm not going to do this. Me and her, we are like this. East and West, we don't. And God calls you to a place of forgiveness. You must forgive the people that wrong you. The ones that are very hard to forgive and the ones that are easy to forgive. But this includes our in-laws and outlaws. Glory to God. You're there, you're still holding on to something that happened 10 years ago. Meanwhile, your in-laws have long moved on. Forgiveness, by the way, is for the person who, against whom it has been transgressed. Sometimes you forgive for yourself to lighten your heart. Amen? You forgive to lighten your heart. You settle it that, you know, I'm going to meet if it's my boss who puts me off, my neighbor who wakes up and shouts in the morning. If you're not going to change the situation, forgive. Forgive and say, you know what, I'll be waking up, hear the person making noise, or go for this function, meet my in-law, meet my ex-girlfriend, my ex-boyfriend, whoever hurt you that much, yeah? But you forgive for your own good. Amen? Forgiving releases you. It releases you to walk in freedom and liberty, not harboring that heart. You know, if you don't have forgiveness in your heart, sometimes you even get pimples. Ladies, glory to God. Even your hair can drop. Yes, those very stress, negative emotions. But you must walk in forgiveness, just like Jesus Christ forgave you. In the Lord's Prayer, the Bible talks about, forgive me as I forgive others. Yeah? Forgive. Let us learn to forgive each other. There's people that can just unnerve you from just that one chat. It unnerves you, get the phone and you want to throw it. Then you remember, hey, it's an iPhone. Then you put it down and say, okay, Lord, yeah? Forgive. In forgiving each other, this also means that we don't gossip about people's weaknesses. Amen? covering a multitude of sins, not forgiving, but covering a multitude of sins means that you don't go gossiping about someone's weakness. Sometimes you have to pretend that you do not even know they have that weakness. Amen? It doesn't mean that you condone it. It doesn't mean that you're okay with it. But you just, you're like, you know what? I know it. Talking about it is not going to help us. Let's move along. And to another person, especially for us ladies, someone can come and they're ratting out to you, you know, this one does this, bitchy. But you just pretend. You pretend like, me, I don't even know anything about that. You don't indulge the other person to gossip, and you know, you end up tearing the person apart. Forgiveness means you cover. There are some people who you have to cover. Cover each other's weaknesses. Glory to God. You know the weaknesses of Joanne. Cover her. When you go to somewhere and you find people jazzing and tearing a person apart, tearing Joanne apart, cover her. Say, you know, say something good, something positive. At best, don't indulge in that conversation. Doesn't mean that you agree with what Joanne does. No. Sometimes you keep quiet. Sometimes it's a leader, a political leader, or a leader of a church. They are not perfect. Yeah, but we are called to cover each other. Glory to God. Everyone wants to be covered. Nobody wants to be gossiped about. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, people who are married, people who are dating, you've seen this. Even growing up as children, we saw our mothers covering for our fathers. Glory to God. Whoever saw that? The mother. You say, but mommy, tata wa muleke. Yeah? Leave your father alone. Leave your father alone. Doesn't mean that. And as a child, you live thinking, but mommy, does she condone this behavior? But she's just covering. Yeah? She's covering her husband. And so we should do the same one to another. So it doesn't mean that you condone these weaknesses. And also remember, on the flip side of things, covering a multitude of, in you trying to cover someone's weaknesses, you may actually have to call them out. You may have to call them out on the bad behavior. That is, in a way, covering them so that other people don't, so many other people don't get to know about it. So you have to be wise. Truth spoken in what? In love. You speak the truth in love. You speak the truth in love about someone's weakness. So love is not stupid that you cover things and you turn a blind eye and do all that. Love is wise. Glory to God. Love is wise, and when you find yourself in those scenarios where you do not know what to do, especially for elders, for old people, yeah, you don't know what to do. Instead of being in a kabozi where someone's nakedness is exposed, ask God for wisdom on how to go about that scenario. If you have to call the person out, speak the truth in love. Don't try to speak the truth in love and you instead break the person. You know, there are people who want to help others. You know that I have an issue. In trying to help me, you end up breaking me. And you know what? What will happen? I'll get away from you. I'll go away from you. That is, I will try. As human beings, we have a self-preservation mechanism inbuilt by God, that when someone starts to hurt you consistently like that, you close in, you walk away from that person. And you don't want that to happen, be it with your children, be it with your spouse. So even when you're saying this truth, even your choir mate, choir what? Ruzungu. So even, yes, you we are here, we serve in LAT together, you know that John has a weakness. Don't just get up in the morning and say, you know what? Ah, you, calm down. What? Joanne, you did this and this. You, in trying to help me, you're actually breaking me. And you know what? The next time, I will relegate. I will run away. So you don't want that to happen. Glory to God. It is the thing that I know most parents ask wisdom for. Help me to build my child, to correct them, to be stern, but not to break them. To build them, but not, you know. So, we have to cover our sins. We have to, because why? Because love doesn't rejoice, of course, in iniquity. You all know the verses. And calling out, we have to call out the sin. If someone is sinning, we have to, but even as we do that, we have to do it in love. You may have all the truth you want to say, but if you say that truth without love, without being sensitive to how people feel, you're going to break them. You are going to break them. You're going to create something that will be even very hard for you to uproot once it has taken root. Glory to God. Yes, so in conclusion, we've looked at just three aspects of the love of Jesus Christ. It is unconditional, it is sacrificial, and it covers a multitude of sins. Glory to God. Amen. So to conclude, to love like this, so you ask yourself, how do you love like this? It, like I said at the beginning, the love of Jesus Christ is so challenging. You're like, man, me, I can't love you like Jesus Christ. I've had spouses that ask each other, but am I Jesus? Am I God? No, you're not God, but you're his representative. Yeah, you take your issues to God. You're spiritual enough. You take your issues to God. He's going to sort you out. But God is counting on you, by the way, to reach that very person. Now you want, what do you want? You want God to come down and listen to your wife, listen to your husband, cook for him a meal. If you keep saying, oh, am I God? Talk to God about it. Talk to God. But God is using you. God put you on the spot that he may channel his love through you. But now again, you're telling the person, you talk to God about these things. It's okay to talk to them, but if you put yourself in that place where God, you open your heart and God, and you ask God to work through you, he will show you how to help people. Amen? So to love like this, you must be a believer. Romans 5, verses 5. Now hope does not, Romans 5 verses 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So let me tell you how you qualify to love like Jesus loved. One, you're a believer. And when you got born again, the Spirit of God, God shed his Holy Spirit abroad in your heart. Okay? So that means that if God shed this Holy Spirit in your heart, that means that he gave you the capacity to pretty much do everything that he did. Only if you are willing. Amen? Only if you are willing. So it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to love. The truth is that there are people who are just so difficult to love, even if you tried. So if you go there and you're like, man, me, I'm going to love this person, what, and you're doing everything in your power, it won't work. It just won't work. Loving like Jesus loved, you must rely on God. You must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You must rely on God. To forgive like Jesus forgave. All about even just forgiving. Forgiving in the by the time evening comes, you're like, but you keep doing this thing. I'm no longer loving you. I'm not forgiving you anymore. It happens to us with our children. But how many times am I going to tell you to do this? No, this time, no. No. I'm not going to. You don't withhold love, but you say, no, I'm not forgiving you anymore. Bring the stick. That's also another part of loving. But bring the stick. Bah! And you spank. You must rely on the Holy Spirit to love people. Because there are people that are just so difficult to love. There are people that will be the thorn in your flesh. Yeah? Let me not even say thorn. There will be that thorn in your neck. The one that, you know, you just see and you feel like, but Jesus Christ, this person. Yeah? But you know, Jesus loved that person, died for that person, and he is counting on you to show that love to that person. Amen? And he has given you the Holy Spirit. And also let us not forget that the Bible says that when we love, when we love one another, we fulfill the law. This morning, as I was thinking about this sermon, I remember the dream I had when Rick Joyner was telling me, do everything that the Bible says you should do, eh? Then you'll have loved the Lord with all your heart, with all your... And it just occurred to me that, no. It just says, love God, love people. You know, I'd never seen it that way. Like, this whole thing is just summarized in love God, love people. Love God, love people. Period. If you just do that, then you'll have fulfilled the whole law. Because if you love, you'll not murder. If you love, you'll not covet. If you love, you'll not slander. If you love, you'll not steal. If you love, you'll not do all these things. So you'll have fulfilled all those commandments. glory to God, and then it becomes easy for us to go to heaven. Amen? Amen? It becomes easy for us to go to what? To heaven. So in LAT, we love God and we love one another as Christ loved us. Let me hope that going forward, you have been inspired to be intentional about this love. To remember that, you know, there are three things. Just find, if you have a list of 10 things, well and good. But for me, I see three major things, yeah? The love of God was unconditional. It was sacrificial. And it covered my multitude of sins. Glory to God. Let us do the same for each other. Let us do the same for the body of Christ. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.